Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Yesterday we learned daf Kuf Yud and it was all about Zugos. Today we go on to Shadim. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph is all about Shadim. So we're going to discuss different things that can make somebody susceptible to being hurt by Shadim. Gemara is going to talk about things that a person shouldn't sandwich himself in between or have them sandwich between him and another person. Also because of some type of Sakana of Shadim and different risks of damage from demons when sleeping in different types of shade. Gemara is going to give details about the names and the nature of different shadim that are found in certain places, mostly because the information will affect the type of kameya, the type of amulet that a person will write to ward off such demons. And the daf concludes with examples of things that are dangerous to do because they cause blindness, poverty, anxiety, things of that nature. So pretty much all about shadim. There is a piece in Emes Liakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky discusses that the Rambam writes that there's no such thing as shadim. So it's difficult to understand what the Rambam rip daf kuf yud aleph out of his Gemara. How can you say this? The whole thing is about shadim? You're not allowed to argue on the Talmud Bavli. No, the Yehuda writes that if any of the Chachmei HaMasorah ever argue on a kutzo shel yud of Talmud Bavli, so he cannot be considered amongst the Chachmei HaMasorah. So how could you have a Rambam that argues against many dapim of Shas where the Gemara constantly refers to shadim? So Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests in Emes Liakov ala Torah that maybe the Rambam is not saying that there never was such a thing as Shadim. What the Rambam is saying is that there is no longer such a thing as Shadim, that we work with this understanding that there's some sort of balance in the world between Kochos HaTumah and Kochos HaKedusha, that when there used to be such a thing called Nevuah, such a thing called Ruach HaKodesh, so then we had Kochos HaTumah to balance it out, and the Shadim are the Kochos HaTumah. But nowadays, where we no longer have Nevuah, we no longer have Ruach HaKodesh, so the Kochos HaTumah are also weakened in order to maintain that sense of balance. So even though we read a lot about Shadim, maybe that's why the Rambam thinks that there's no such thing as Shadim. Not that there never was, but there's no such thing anymore. It could be that's why most of the things that we read about in today's daf, people are not makbid about at all. Perhaps because it's no longer a concern for us. We learned yesterday that even when it comes to the Zugos, mandalo kapti lo kaptinan, if a person is not careful about these things, he's not worried about these things, so they're not going to harm him. So the same is true with most of what we're about to learn on today's daf. So we left off, I believe, four lines into the page on daf kuf yud aleph amud aleph at the top. Amar Reish Lakish, arba dvarim ha'oso sandoma b'rosho m'schayv b'nafsho. There are four things that somebody who does them is responsible for his own life. He's taking his life into his own hands, and he's responsible for it. Elu hein, and they are the following. Hanifna ben deka l'kosel. Someone who goes to the bathroom in between a palm tree and the wall, meaning there's a small area, and a person decides to go into that very tiny area and go to the bathroom in that area. So there are two things that are very commonly caused or circumstances that seem to be ripe for shadim. One is when things are dirty, like going to the bathroom, and the other is when you're in a small confined area. So over here you have both together. It's a very small confined area between the dekel and the kosel. Plus, it's a person is going to the bathroom, so that's going to be a very dangerous thing. Second, va'over ben shnei dekalim, a person who walks in between two palm trees. Third, va'shos ha'mayim shu'ulin, someone who drinks borrowed water. And number four, va'over al mayim shfuchin, someone who walks over spilled out water. Va'afilu shafchasu ishto b'fanav, and even if his wife spilled out the water in front of him, to step over it, to walk over it, is considered to be dangerous. So the Gemara is going to elaborate on each of these four things. Number one, anifna ben deka l'kosel, when we said a person goes to the bathroom between a palm tree and the wall, that's considered to be a sakana, lo amrin ela delesle arba amos. That's only if he had a very tiny area of less than four amos in between the tree and the wall. Aval isle arba amos, leslan ba, but if there's four amos between the tree and the wall, then there's no such concern. And even if there's no Dalet Amos, that's only if there's no other, the concern is only if there's no other path Avalika dirka achrina leslimba. But if there's some other path then that the shade can go on, then you don't have to worry about it. That's how the Rashbam explains the dirka achrina. Shetei shedu yicholu lahalich. But the Rashbam says, Rashi says rather, the achshav zeba begvula hivsidarka v'achi maskale. That the reason this is so dangerous when you don't have another derech is that you're getting in the way of the only way the shade can move. The only way the shade is going to be able to get out. So that's in terms of the first item of being nifna bein dekel lekosel. That's how the Rashi and the Rashbam both say in the Sefer Chasidim. Also, he says Sefer Chasidim in Simon Tav Shin Mem Vav. He says that shadim are very limited in where they're allowed to travel. So shadim are given mekamos mesuyamim. They're given specific spots that they're allowed to go in those spots, and they're not allowed to go anywhere else. So if you block off one of their areas, one of their spots that they're allowed to go, so they're going to be all confused, they're not going to be able to escape, and they're going to damage anyone who's left behind in that room. So in Sefer Chasidim, he says, that's why the person should avoid closing off any windows or doors in a house, because maybe when there are windows or doors in a house, it's through that window, through that door, that a shade is allowed to go, and if you block it off, you close it off, the shade is not going to be able to go through the window and the door, and that's going to cause sakana. In the tzava'a of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid has some 50 some odd items that he recommended or that he strongly encouraged or required of people to observe. Many of those items that he says are against Gemaras. He in terms of who to marry, who not to marry, there are Gemaras that recommend certain relationships, and Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says in the Tzava not to do it. There are certain things that just don't appear anywhere in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says in the Tzava that a person should not marry someone who has the same name as their parent. A guy shouldn't marry a girl who has the same name as his mother. A girl shouldn't marry a guy who has the same name as her father. And one of the things it says in Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is never ever close up a window in construction. Never do construction where you're gonna block off a window and close up the window in the course of the construction. So there are many people that are very makpid about that. And Rabbi Yehuda explains, because of Shadim, that if you close up the window, the Shadim aren't going to have anywhere to escape, and that's going to be a very dangerous thing. So if you say that in a room full, you say over that, my experience is, if you say over that line of Rabbi Yehuda in a room full of people, somebody will have a story. Somebody always had, well, the one time we were doing construction, and they closed off, and the person was very sick, and it's and someone will always have a story about that. So Chassidim are very, very makbid about this in general, and even non-Chassidim, some people are very makbid about it. Someone told me that they wanted to close off a window, and they asked Rabbi Belsky whether they have to be concerned about closing the window. Rabbi Belsky said that if you're they wanted to close off a window and put a new window on the side, it was in a bad location. Rabbi Belsky said, as long as it's within Dalet Amos, it's okay. As long as within Dalet Amos, you have nothing to worry about. Where did he get the Dalet Amos from? Pashlus, you see, he got it from the Gemara. That is, Aval Islay Arba Amos Leslenba. That if there's 4 Amos of space, so 4 Amos of space is considered to be like a larger space where the Shadim aren't going to be as concerned. But meaning it seems that that within 4 Amos is where they're going to be able to go. So if you have it within 4 Amos, it's considered to be the same Makom. But again, a lot of things in Sefas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid people aren't so concerned about, so it's not so clear that you need to be concerned about this item either. Probably people are more concerned about this item than many of the others in Sefas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, because he dafka refers to it as some type of sakana. Had he not called it a sakana, then maybe people wouldn't be so concerned about it. Rav Moshe, I always comment with Sefas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, you know, what do the Gedolei Poskim have to say about it? Rav Moshe doesn't have any explicit tshuvos about the tzava in general, as far as I know. He discusses one item in the tzava, is that you shouldn't wear shoes of a dead person. So someone said, you know, but my uncle had really nice shoes. So they asked Moshe, and we're the same size, you know. So they asked if they could wear the shoes of someone who had passed away. So Rav Moshe writes that probably when Rabbi Yehuda Achas said not to wear the shoes, he said, first of all, some understood that Rabbi Yehuda Achas didn't mean not to wear the shoes of a dead person. That they understood that it says that you shouldn't wear shoes of a mesa, meaning of a nevela, of an animal that just dies, an animal that didn't that wasn't shechted, but it just dropped dead. So the animal likely is diseased. So if you're going to take the skin of that animal and make shoes out of the skin of that animal, so maybe you're going to get some sort of disease. So that's how some understood the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Achas. He said, I don't think that's what it means, Ramosh said. I think it means actually a person who dies, that you shouldn't wear his shoes, the shoes of a person who dies, and the reason that, but the reason is still the same. If you don't know why a person died, so who knows? Maybe he has some sort of disease that you can catch, so you shouldn't wear his shoes because you don't want his sweat. You don't want. Who knows why? How you could get sick from it? So Rav Moshe thinks that with each item of Tzavav Rabbi Yehuda Chassin, if there's a logical explanation for it, we should give a logical explanation and only be bound by that logical explanation. But and we could be makil if in situations that don't fit into that logical explanation. But by the closing up the windows, Rabbi Yehuda Chassin says explicitly what it is. He says it's all about shadim. So if you're not worried about shadim in general, so then lechara you wouldn't worry about this. In terms of marrying someone who has the same name as a parent, Rav Moshe had two sons-in-law. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a son-in-law, Rav Moshe Tendler, and Rav Moshe Shiska. So probably he wasn't so worried about the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in terms of that. I don't know. He doesn't say anywhere about the windows one way or the other. I asked Rav Shechter's son, if Rav Shechter's makbid, about the closing up the windows. He says he can't imagine that he is, but he doesn't know for sure. He didn't ask him. I would find it hard to believe that he would be also. But again, Belsky apparently is makbid about it. Many people are makbid about it. They put like a pipe in the. But even if you are makbid about it, they say that if you're not part of Spitzima, if you don't take out the entire windowsill and the entire frame of the window or the door, that's also not a problem. Or if you just leave any sort of neck of any sort of hole, that's not a problem. That Rabbi Yehuda Chassid actually writes in the Tzava, that making any sort of tiny hole will take care of the problem, because apparently Shadim don't need that much space. They just need a little hole to be able to get through. Okay. So the next item on the list was someone who passes through two dekalim, passes in between two palm trees. So someone who passes in between two palm trees, that's only if there's no Rishus HaRabim in between the two palm trees. Aval Paskin Rishus HaRabim less than, but if there's a Rishus HaRabim in between those two palm trees, then there's not going to be a problem in the first place. It's no issue even though you're in between two palm trees. Hashosamayim Shu'ulin Lamar Ela Deshailinu Katan. When you drink borrowed water, that's only a problem if it was borrowed by a katan. Aval Gadol less than, but Gadol, it's not a problem. Vafilu Shailinu Katan Nami Lamran El Besadad Lo Shchichi. And even if it was by a katan, it's only a problem in a field where it's not so easy to find water. Avol bi'ir d'shchichi leslanba. But if it's in the city where water is very readily available, then it's not going to be a problem. Rashi and the Rashbam explain that since in the field water is not available, so the ruach ra will be moser nafsho to drink the water, and therefore it will be mazik. But in the city where there's plenty available, so the ruach ra is not going to be moser nefesh in order to access the water, and therefore it's going to be okay. And the tshuvas rav pa'olim yardei chelpei siman lamed. He says, you see from here that ruchos ra'os are only mazik when they have no other possibility, no other way to do whatever it is they need to do. But when there's some other way that they have, that they could accomplish what they need to do, so then without hurting anybody, they're not out to hurt anybody. They're out primarily to satisfy themselves. So if they just don't care who gets in the way if they need to satisfy themselves. But there's no interest that the ruach ra has in actually causing damage. Maybe there's a message in that the definition of ruach ra is someone who just doesn't care about other people that get in the way when they're trying to satisfy their own desires. It's not about kavana lahazik necessarily. It's about just it's not in the cheshbon. It's not in the cheshbon that somebody else is going to get hurt when the person is trying to satisfy their own desires. So that's ruach ra. So and even in the field, it's only an issue with water, but wine and beer is not going to be a problem. The overall mayim shvuchim, the last item on the list was someone who passes over spilled out water, that's also an issue of dama barosho, mischayev benafsho, and they lo amran ela delo efsekinu ba'afra. That's only if it wasn't plugged up with some dirt. Velo tuf buhu roka, no one ever put any saliva into it. Avlo efsekinu ha tuf buhu roka leslan ba. But if either of those things happen to this water, then you don't have to worry about it. Velo amran ela delo avra. And it's also only if the sun didn't pass over it, nor have 60 steps passed over it. The 60 people step over it. But if the sun passed over it, or 60 steps passed over it, then it's not going to be a concern at all. And it's also only a problem if a person is not riding on a donkey and not wearing shoes. But if a person is riding on a donkey or he's wearing shoes, then this is not going to be a sakana either. But all this is when there's no additional concern of kishuf, where all you're worried about is shedim, ruach ra, that type of thing. When there's no additional concern of kishuf, but when you're going to have to worry about kishuf as well, then even if you have all of these things in place, we're still going to be choshesh. To who gavra, the rachav chamra, the sayimasni, the gomer masani v'tzavukari. There was a guy that was riding on a donkey and he was wearing his shoes, so he was doing everything right, but still his shoes dried up and his feet dried up and his feet completely dried up. So it ruined his feet by going over this spilled out water, even though he had all of the normal protective gear that you would need with the animal and the shoes, but it was irrelevant because if there was kishuf there, then you always have to worry about kishuf. So the Achronim wonder why it is the Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh, siman Kuf Tes Zayin, about things that are maybe lidei sakana. Things that a person shouldn't do because they're mevi lidei sakana. Shulchan Aruch is strict about eating fish and meat together because it's mevi lidei sakana. That it's mevi lidei davarach. A person eats fish and meat together. So why is it that these things don't make it into Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says that you shouldn't drink mayim megulim. You shouldn't leave exposed water overnight. Because maybe aris nachash, maybe the snake deposits its venom. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, but nowadays, if you live in an area that there aren't very many snakes, and it's very unlikely that there's venom of the snake, so you don't have to worry about the mayim megulim. But Shulchan Aruch is a whole list of items that worried about sakana. So why do none of these items make the list as things that we are worried about in terms of sakana? So we don't have a real mahalich as to what gets included. At least I don't. As to what gets included on the list and what does not get included on the list. I mean, some of the Acharim say in terms of the fish and meat, that why is it any different than leaving the mayim megulim? That you leave mayim megulim, so the Shulchan Aruch acknowledges that if there are no snakes around, then it's no problem, because we know exactly what the issue is. Well, fish and meat apparently causes tsaras, so if we have no evidence that it causes any sort of damage like that, so why doesn't he say that we don't have to worry about it anymore? So some of the poskim say, no, because that's something that's not as clearly detectable, meaning maybe a person has fish and meat, it somehow is bad for his health, and we can't really tell. We can't really know. We don't, you know, he could suffer certain health issues and he would never attribute it to that, and we wouldn't know. Mayim megulim is something that's very clear what the issue is, that if there's a snake, it's going to be a problem. If there's not a snake, it's not going to be a problem. But that hagdara doesn't necessarily work for him. Magen Avraham says you don't have to worry about fish and meat either. He says, bizmanenu, it doesn't happen, it's not a sakana. So it's a machlokas, aposkim, whether we still have to be concerned about those things. But these don't even make it onto the page, it doesn't even make it to the Shulchan Aruch. However, in the beginning of Or Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav, in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Nun Vav in Or Chaim is the halachos of Seder Maso Matan. It's going through a person's daily schedule. So we start off with waking up in the morning, right at the beginning of here Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph and Netilas Yadayim and Tzitzis and Tefillin and Tefillah. So finally we get through davening. Now it's time to go to work. Now it's time. So Shulchan Aruch talks about that also. It doesn't stop right after davening. So Shulchan Aruch says Acher Kachi Lechla Sakav. Person should go to work. The Kol Torah Sheni Mamalacha Sofa Betela V'Gorer Savon. That any Torah that doesn't have Malacha associated with it, a person's not going to work, and he's just going to try to learn without working. It's going to cause him to do averos. Shulchan Aruch says this pasul na'alacha. Ki ha'oni yavirenu al das kono. Person is poor, it's going to cause him to violate the Ratzon of Hashem. But nevertheless, a person also has to be very careful. Shulchan Aruch says, lo yasa malachto ikar ela arai. His malacha shouldn't be the primary focus of his day. The focus of his day should be his Torah. Tarasa should be keva, regardless of how much time he's able to spend on one or the other. But he has to keep his head on straight in terms of what's the most important and what's not the most important. So at the very beginning of that simen, the Magen Avraham writes in Kuf Nun Vav, before he even comments on anything the Shulchan Aruch says, he writes Ayin Behilchus Deus La Rambam. He says you should look in the Rambam and Hilchos Deos how to behave, how to be a mensch, and all the midos that you could think of, you should go in the middle path, the Rambam Shvil Azov, you should take the middle path with two exceptions, Gaiva and Kas, you should go run as far as you can in the other direction. We're not down the middle when it comes to Gaiva and Kas. Those are objectively bad midos, and they should pretty much, with very, very rare exceptions, they should pretty much never come out in a person. So on that Magen Avraham, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, out of nowhere, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Gimelein mematzim vein mismatzim ha-kelev ha-dekel v'isha. It's a Gemara we're about to see. V'yesham rafa chazir v'yesham rafa nachash. He quotes our whole Gemara and about walking. Well, the Gemara that we haven't yet seen, but the whole Gemara about walking between women, so he quotes all of these issues that apparently lead to danger, and he quotes Psachim Kufir Alef Amar Alef Vayin Lel Simin Yud Gimel Sifir Alef Mash Kusafi Al Gilin Sham Gimel Dvarim Kashim Lekshafim. He says there are things you should stay away from because they could leave you susceptible to kishuf. So Rabbi Kiva Eger does quote some of these things. If you look in Shulchan Aruch Harav, he quotes a whole bunch of them also. Also quotes many of the things that we mentioned in our Gemara. So it's not so clear what is the halacha, what's not. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any of it, but some of the later poskim, real poskim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Shulchan Aruch Harav, serious poskim, Shulchan Aruch Harav in Choshen Mishpat and Hilchos Shmiras Haguf. Quotes all these things. Shmiras Haguf Nefesh. He has a whole discussion of many of these items. So it's not so clear why some of them yes and some of them not. In the Sefer Bira Alacha, it says that behind the Chazanish's house there were palm trees on both sides, and they asked him why isn't he choshesh for what the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be over bin shnei dekalim. So he says these types of skula related things that we say in the Gemara, if we don't have a kabbalah and a minig to be makbid, so then we're not makbid, and there's no such kabbalah. There's no such minhag to be makbid about walking between two palm trees. So he says that he's not worried about it. That's what they say from the Chazon Ish. Okay, says the Gemara further. Now, again, some of these items that Rabbi Kiva Eger mentions on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch are mentioned right now in this price. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha, Ein Mimatzin, Velo Mismatzin. There are three types of things that you should not walk in middle of, nor should you cause them to be in between you and somebody else. You shouldn't sandwich around them. Ve'elu hein, and they are Hakelev Vadekel Vaisha, a dog, a palm tree, and an isha. A person, man, should not walk between two women, nor should he have a woman walk between two men. And the same with a dog and with a palm tree. V'yeshom mafa chazir, some say a chazir also, that pig as well. V'yeshom mafa nachash, and others say a snake as well. Ve'im mematzin maitakante, let's say you do walk in between these two things, or you sandwich one of these items between you and your friend, so what do you do? So Amar Rav Papa, niftach bekel v'nafsik bekel, that you should say a passage, as Rashi says, kel motziyo mi mitzrayim. Rashbam says, rather, you should So we're starting with Kel Motsiyim Mitzrayim, and then up until Mapal Kel, that you should say a series of psukim that begins with Kel and ends with Kel, and that way it would solve the problem. Inami niftach below v'nafsik below, or a different series of a lowish and ad v'lo yikimena. You begin with low and you end with low. Meaning, I'm not sure exactly what the meaning of dafka those psukim is. Marsha talks about it a little bit, but clearly the idea is you're also creating a sandwich. You're starting with Kel, ending with Kel, starting with low, ending with low, is you're also sandwiching two things. So that's why somehow that's going to solve this problem of being mimatzeya in between two of these items. Haini be trade the mitzalu isha nida. If you have two people that are an isha nida, that they walked in between isha nida, im tchilas nidasahi haregas achas mehen. If it's the beginning of her nidus and she walks right in between two men, so it will kill one of them. Im sof nidasahi meriva osa benehen. And if it's the end of her nidus, then it's going to cause a fight. She's going to create a fight between them by walking in between these two people. So let's see a little bit further. Maita kante. So what's the way to solve this issue? So niftach bekel v'nafsik bekel. So the same idea that we start with you say those series of psukim. In fact, the Gra in Kol Eliyahu in Os Kufman Bey says that the reason that Esther Hamalka invited Haman to the Suuda together with Achashverosh was to be able to cause this problem for them. She wanted to sit right in between them, and because she knew that she was a nida, the Gemara Maseches Megillah of Daf Tezvav says on the pasuk Vatschalcha Hamalka Ma'od that she pierced a nida, she became a nida. So she said, here's my chance. So she invited Haman to the Suuda together with Achashverosh, hoping that she could walk, sit right in between them, and then if it's the beginning of her nida, so one of them will die, and if one of them dies, then for sure it's about because when two people make a gzera together and one of them dies, it's definitely going to fall apart. And the bigger school that have it definitely fall apart is if it's besof nidas and they get into a fight. If the two people start arguing with each other, then they're never going to get anything done. So she figured that was the best way to be mevatel gzera al derech skula. That's how the Gras says in Kol Eliyahu, that was her kavana. If there are two women on the crossroads, and one is on one side of the road of the path that people walk on, and the other is on the other side, and they're looking toward each other, so that's a good bet that they're involved in kishuf, and walking in between them is not such a bright idea because these are two women that are standing right there that are involved in kishuf. So what's the takana? How do you solve it? So if there's some other derech that you can walk on, so you should go in that other derech. If there's no other path you could take, but there's another guy that's with you, so grab his hand and walk through together. Walking through alone is going to be dangerous, but you walk through together and it will protect you. And if there's nobody else there to grab his hand and walk through with, so you should say the following. Ageras, Azelas, Asya, Balusia, those are all the different names of Shadim, Miskatlo b'chik kaval, that they're killed with arrows. So you say that, and that will take care of all of the problems. So apparently there is this inyan, at least, of not walking in between women. This is not the only Gemara where this comes up. The Gemara Maseches Horios on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis counts amongst the list of items, says that having a woman between Shnei Anashim or a man between Shnei Nashim is amongst 10 things that a person should be careful about because they're Kashim Lelimud, that it will make a person forget his learning. So over here it sounds like it's a different inyan, but the item appears on both lists. It's on the list of things that we don't do because of Shadim, and on the list of things that we don't do because of Kashim Lelimud. So in the Mitzvah Esan, he brings from the Zohar Chadash, someone who's not careful about this, Ayin Rosh, let us bow. So the Marsha says that both elements are true. In our sugya, we're talking about mazikim, and we're talking about sakana. So we talk about the other items that also are maybe de sakana mazikim. That's kelev and adekel. And those three things, if you're walking between them, it's sakana, it's mazikim. The Gemara in Horios is talking about koshi alimud. By that, it's only about an isha, but not a kelev and a dekel. So we only mention ish over there, we don't mention kelev and dekel. They're two different lists. There happens to be one item of crossover, the Marshal explains, this is Marshal and Horios, one item of crossover and that item that crosses over both lists is the Isha. There's a tshuva of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has in the tshuva in Salmas Chaim about walking between two women and when we have to be makbid about it, when we don't have to be makbid about it. So he has a lot to say on this issue. He has several tshuvas in Salmas Chaim about this issue. So he says that, first of all, in terms of the Gemara in Horios, he says there's a chilik between the reason for the Yisr in our sugya, not to be mimatzea between, for an isha to be mimatzea between two men, li matzea ben shtei nashim, and the Gemara in Horios, where we talk about the Dvarim that are Kashim Limud. Our sugya is talking about men and women that are Mahalchim Bederech Oberchov. They're walking in on the road somewhere. That's where there's Sakonis Ruach Ra O Kishuv. But in a house, there's no Ruach Ra, there's no Kishuv, you don't have to worry about it. In Horios, it's Shayach also in the house, meaning it's a different halacha. Since it's a concern of Shichchas HaLimud, so the place of Limud is a house. So that's it has nothing to do with Ruach Ra, which is much more commonly found outside of the home, which is much more common on the Derech. However, he also writes, the Isser Mitzua is only Bederech HaBerechov, by bias, you don't have to worry about it. That's only when the woman is not miskavin lahazik. But if a woman goes between two men with kavana lahazik, he says even in the bias, it's going to be a problem. Meaning if she dafka puts herself in that position, and that explains the gra with Esther, that the gra invited Achashverosh to the suda, so it was in the bias. But that was her whole kavana. The gra says her whole kavana was to be mazik, and therefore it's going to be a problem even in the bias. What age should one start to be careful not to walk between two women? So Salmas Chaim says that it's even by besulos, even young girls, because it says but only when sigias manim liros, that's when we have to be makbid. His raya is from the fact that the Gemara seems to associate this with nida, that varis bein shnei, the Gemara talks about a nida in the same context. So probably it's only at the age that a girl could theoretically become a nida. Okay, so different Gedolei Yisrael were careful about this, others were not. They say Rav Elia Lapian in Lev Elio, it says that when he would walk in, he would see even young girls playing, he would ask for them to move over to one side so he can walk by. So many, many people were makbid about this, others not as much. Marshan discusses, what about Nashim Nachrios? What about non-Jewish women? Is this only a concern, someone who has Tumas Nida? Only a Jewish woman has Tumas Nida, with all of the severity that carries with it, or is this not about Tumas Nida, it's about that the concept of Nida is something that on some level is very dangerous. Ramban ala Torah says by Rachel, and Rachel tells Lavan that she's not able to get up because Derech Nashim Li. The Ramban has this whole thing about how dangerous it is, how Dam Nida is an extremely dangerous thing, and people don't walk in the path of a Nida. And this was something that was very common. You find in the Rishonim like this all the time, that they wouldn't walk in the same path that a Nida walked in. All of these hakpados that seem very, very foreign to us. So it doesn't seem it has anything to do with Tumas Nida per se. It was just things that they were careful about in terms of Nida in general. So what would we then say about Nashim Nachriel? So the Marsham in the Tshuva in Chelik Dalet Siman Kuf Mem Ches says he doesn't, how do you answer such a question? He has no idea how to answer such a question. How can one be Machriya about this type of thing? So Kedai to be Yotze from any sort of Chashash and say the pasuk that starts with low and ends with low, and then you don't have to worry about anything. But he says he has no idea how he could possibly answer such a thing. Now there is a Ramah in Yaredeya in Sim Kuf Sadi Ches Sif Mem Ches. Ramah says that a woman should be careful when she goes to the Beis HaTvila, that the first thing she sees after the Beis HaTvila should not be a davar tameh, a chaya, or a behema. If that's the first thing she sees after she comes out of the mikveh, so the Ramah says, if she's a Yirei Shemayim, she should go back and go to the mikveh again. Ramah, Shulchan Aruch says like that, that the first thing she sees is a davar tameh, she should go back to the mikveh. So the Shach writes over there in Sifkot and Samach Aleph that a davar tameh means like a kelev, a chamor, an am haaretz, or an ovid kochavim. So you see that ovid kochavim is similar to a kelev with regard to that. So one of the achronim suggests that the Otsu Yad HaChayim suggests that maybe the same over here, that if when the pigia that you run into when we compare the Nachri to the Kelev. So when we compare an Isha to a Kelev, that by being Mematzea, where the Gemara specifically says both Isha, Kelev, Dekel, they're all in the same boat in terms of this, in terms of being Mematzea. So you should be Makbid on his Matzos Shtei Nashim Shnei Kelevim. So an Isha Nachriya would have the same din also, just like over there the Ovid Kochavim has the same din as the Kelev and the Amma Aretz and everybody else. So maybe you can make a tzushtal. I don't know how you make tzushtals in these things. I don't know how you make a comparison. It doesn't mean anything. How do you know that one halacha has anything to do with the other, one chashash has anything to do with the other chashash? Okay, so further in the Gemara now. If a guy happens to meet a woman on her way out of Tvilas Mitzvah, on her way out of the Mikvah, if he's the first person of the two of them to have Tashma Shamita, then he's going to be seized by Ruach Znunim, by this terrible Pritzus. If she's the first one in Mishamsha that has Tashmash afterwards, Ruach Znunim, then it's going to be very bad for her spiritual health. She's going to have this Ruach Znunim that takes her over. So my Takanti, so what are you supposed to do? A woman walks out of the Mikvah, she sees somebody. So somebody's going to be hurt. So what? Neither of them should ever go back to their spouses. So le mahachi. No, you have to say the following: shofich bozal nadivim yitam b'toh lo derech, and that will solve the problem. The Achronim raised the Rishonim, not the Achronim. Rishonim Tosos raises the question that in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Gemara tells a story in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dalid, that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit on the Pesach Beis HaTvila, so that women who would come out would be mistakel, would see him, and their children would be beautiful like him. Because apparently the first thing the woman sees when she comes out of the mikveh is somehow has a tremendous impact on her or on her child. That's the halacha we said in the Ramah, that she shouldn't look at a davar tameh first. If the first thing she sees is a davar tameh, that's considered to be something that's a very bad idea. So the first thing she sees is Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan figured that's not bad. If the first thing a woman sees is a holy tzaddik, Rabbi Yochanan, so she can have children that are holy tzaddikim. But the Rishonim raised the question, I don't understand. How could Rabbi Yochanan do that? What about the Ruach Znunim? Why aren't you worried about the Ruach Znunim? If she has Tashmish first, she's going to have Ruach Znunim. If he has Tashmish first, he's going to have a Ruach Znunim. I always thought that if you want to be Matztik, strange Minhagim, or I don't even call them Minhagim, strange Skula culture type of things, you know, I often get the question, often, sometimes, every once in a while, people learn to stop asking me already, but people used to call once in a while and say, a pregnant woman would call, she'd say, I'm going to the mikveh because I'm going as a skula for my friend. My friend is having trouble having conceiving, so there's a skula that if you go together with a pregnant woman, then you'll be able to have children. So do I need to do a chafifa? Do I need to do, I don't know, I was never trained to answer such questions. I have no idea how to answer such a question. Do whatever you want. So, but I thought maybe if you want to be matztik, such a minog, that if the first thing you see as you come out of the Beis HaTvila will somehow have an impact on you, so maybe the first thing you see is a pregnant person, so maybe that's the inyan, that it'll have some sort of impact. But anyway, Tosus raised the question, how could Rabbi Yochanan not be choshish for this? Rabbi Yochanan wasn't worried about this. So Tosus and Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, in his first answer, says that in our sugya we're talking about where your pogea bi'isha, when she comes out of the river, right when she's coming out, when she's still undressed, that's the Ruach Znunim. Rabbi Yochanan would sit b'shar beis hatvila, outside of the mikveh building where there were where the women already got dressed. So that it's a very different kind of idea. Tosfos also says in the second teretz that it's dafka when your pogea bi'isha b'derech mikre, where you just happen to run into her. Rabbi Yochanan sat there b'derech keva on purpose, so there's not, he protected himself from the Ruach Znunim. The Ritva says that the Gemara is talking about regular people, but Rabbi Yochanan is not just a regular person. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, has an expression that the women are like white geese, mm-hmm. that they have no impact on him. He has no taivas. He's able to see them without having any sort of taiva for them. Like the Gemara in Ksuva says that one of the Gedolei Amoraim would put the kala up on his shoulders and dance, and the Talmidim would say, "You're allowed to do that. Can we do that too?" And he said, "No, that's for me. That's not for you, because someone who doesn't have yetzer hara and taivas like that." Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara, we gotta get moving over here. What does the pasuk mean when it says that Gam Kehilch V'Yetzal, that I should never fear anything in the valley of doom because God is with me? That's someone who sleeps in the shade of a single palm tree, of a lone palm tree, or Betzal Levan in the shade of the moon, or Betzal Dekli Yichidu Lamanel Dulonafel Tuli Dechavri Levei. And even the shade of a single palm tree is only when the shade of a neighboring palm tree doesn't cross over it. Less than but if there's another palm tree that's close enough that the shadows will touch each other, will go from one tree to the other, so then it's no concern. So when the Braisa says you shouldn't go and sleep in the shadow of a palm tree, of a single palm tree, or in the shadow of the moon, that's what case was it talking about? If it's a case where there's no shade of any other palm tree nearby, so then even in the field it's dangerous. Why does it only highlight the chatzer? So we see in the chatzer it's even more dangerous. Even if there is another palm tree nearby where the shade will go over from one to the other, it's going to be a concern. And the tzel of the moon is only when it's in the west. But in the east, it's not going to be a problem. Someone who goes to the bathroom on the stump of a palm tree, ruach palga, will be seized by a spirit of palga, which apparently is a bad thing. Someone who rests his head on the stump of a palm tree, ruach tsarda, will be seized by a ruach tsarda, which Rashi says he's going to have terrible. Rashbam says rather he's going to have terrible headaches. Haiman de pasi adikla, someone who steps over a palm tree, the stump of a palm tree, probably imiktul katil iyakar miyakar. If it's a dead palm tree, if the palm tree was cut down, so the person is going to get cut down, he's going to get killed, and if the palm tree gets uprooted, the person is going to die. That's only if he didn't put his foot on it. But if he placed his foot on it, then he has nothing to worry about. There are five types of shade that each have an effect on a person. The shade of a lone palm tree. Tula de kanda, the shade of a kanda tree. Tula de parcha, the shade of a certain type of bush. Tula de zardasa, the shade of another type of tree or bush. Ikadarmi af tula de arva, some say even the shade of a both. The tula de arvasa. And the shade of an arava bush. Bottom line is, if there are a lot of leaves, then the shade is not good for you. The kashi silve, kashi tule. And if there's a lot of wood, if the wood is very hard on the particular type of tree, also the shade of that tree is not good for a person. Except for one type of particular tree, where even though it has very hard wood, you don't have to worry about the shade is not bad for you. Damr lashid lebra pirchi nafshech mikar masha diu hu dekatal avucha vekatal didei. Because we know the shade said to its child, said to the its son, that stay away from this type of tree because it killed your father. Amar Ravashi chazin Rav Kahana deparish mikulu tuli, but Rav Kahana was careful; he would never hang out in the shade of any type of tree. Be pirchi ruchi. The Bei Pirchi is called Ruchi. Ruchi is the demon that you find by the Bei Pirchi. The shadim that are found by Bei Pirchi are Ruchi. To Bei Zardasa, Shida. The shadim that are found in Bei Zardasa, a different type of tree, are called Shida. To Bei Igri, Rishbi. So Lamei Nafmina, who cares what the shadim are called by all these different trees? Lekamea, if you want to write a Kamea to ward off all of these different shadim. To Bei Pirchi, Bria She'in Le'inayim. The Bei Pirchi doesn't have any eyes. The shade involved with it doesn't have any eyes. L'may nafkamina l'gzuzela. If you want to run away from it, it's not going to be able to find you. Zimna chada va'azl tzumir abanan lafni l'bei pirchi. One time, where tzumir abanan went to go to the bei pirchi, sham d'ka'asi l'vei, he was going to the bathroom there, sham d'ka'asi l'vei v'gazela. So he heard that they were after him, the demons were after him, so he ran away. Kiyaz l'chapke l'dipkla tzavach dikla upakahi. That he went and he tripped over a dekel and it fell apart. When he tripped over the dekel, the palm tree dried out. Parcha de Bezardasa Shidi, the demons of Bezardasa Shidi. Hai Zardasa, the Smichla Masa, Lo Paskum Mishis and Shidi. There was a certain Zardasa that always had at least 60 demons by it. Lamainaf Kamina, Lamichtav Lakameh. If it's close to a city, it always has 60 demons. So you have to know when you write a Kameh that you're writing against 60 Shadim, not just one or two. Hu Bar Kasha de Masa da Azl Vakai, Gabe Zardasa, Davisamach Lamasa. There was a guy that used to always go near this tree that was near a town, Alube Shis and Shidi. Is stuck, and so 60 demons attach themselves to him and put him in danger. So he went to a rabbi to write a kameh, but the rabbi had no idea that there are 60 demons. So he wrote him a kameh for one demon. And he heard the demons mocking him, and they were saying, "Oh, you're wearing the talis of a rabbi, but we don't even know how to make the bracha on a talis. You don't know anything." So, meaning that the message is, don't wear clothing that suggests that you're some sort of Rashka Bahag if you're a nobody. So they went to another rabbi who knew that there were 60 demons by these places. So he wrote a kameya against 60 shadim. So he heard them say, "Okay, we better get out of here." Cut of Mariri, Trey Katvi Havu. Chad mikame tiara, kat of Mariri, there are two demons called Katvi. One that's before the afternoon, v'chad mibasa tiara, and the other one comes out later in the afternoon. The mikame tiara, kat of Mariri shmo, the one that comes out earlier is called kat of Mariri, mechzibi kada de kamcha, and looks like a kada de kamcha, v'hadarbe bachsha, and b'chasha, and it goes about quietly. The basa tiara, the one that comes out later in the afternoon, kat of yashut sarayim shmo, umechzibi karna de Ezel, looks like the horn of a goat, v'hadabe kanafya, and it's like a sieve. Abaye have a shakel vazel. Abaye was once walking. Vazel Rav Papa miyimine, Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua mismale, and he was flanked by Rav Papa on one side, Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua on the other side. Chazilu katav mriri the kaasi lape the smale. He saw a katav mriri coming toward his left. A hadra la Rav Papa the smale. So he immediately put Rav Papa on his left side. Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua liyimine, and he switched Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Shua onto his right side. Amle Rav Papa, na ma'ishna delo chashashli. Rav Papa says, "Hey, how come you're sticking me right in the path of the demon? That's not nice." So Amle atshaita kayamislach. I had an inclination that right now you're having a period of good luck. These demons are found from the first day of Tammuz until the 16th of Tammuz. Ironically, from Shiva Asr b'Tammuz and on, then it's a suffix whether they're around or not. And you can find them in the shade of a chatzba that didn't grow one amma. Betuli de tafro pani de lo have a garmida, and the shade of the morning and the afternoon also that's less than one amma. The ikur betuli de beis hakisei, but primarily you can find them in the shade of a beis hakisei. Okay, but Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow for Amar of Yosef, trying to continue with issues of shade.